You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. And if you're anything like me, the 1990s blockbuster movie Twister is responsible for the sum total of your knowledge about tornadoes. Twister is one of those bad movies that's just so good to watch. In it, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton play storm chasers attempting to deploy a groundbreaking tornado research device during a really severe outbreak of tornadoes in Oklahoma.
Cow. I gotta go, Julia. We got cows. Another cow.
Actually, I think that was the same one.
Now, while the science of Twister is questionable in some big ways, it did generate a lot of interest in meteorology and environmental science. And that's a good thing, given how little we still know about tornadoes. Unlike other natural disasters, including hurricanes, tornadoes are much more difficult to predict. In some cases, tornado warnings come only minutes before it hits. To help us understand why that is and more, I spoke with Jeff Weber, a scientist at the University Corporation of Atmospheric Research. He told me that this year has already been a pretty active tornado year, with tornadoes hitting a number of states in recent weeks, from Illinois to Alabama to North Carolina, where I'm based.
What we have going on right now in the atmosphere is what we call an amplified jet stream, an amplified wave train. And so what this means is that the jet stream, which generally runs from east to west across the country, has got a lot of north and south components to it. And when it does this amplification, it brings very cold air from the north down to the Gulf Coast, and it brings very warm, moist air up to the northern tier states. And this adds to instability because you're bringing this warm, moist air to interact with colder, drier air. And those are exactly the ingredients that we need for tornadoes.
So this seems like the kind of thing that, granted, I would not be able to see and tell, but folks with specialized knowledge would be able to look at and see it happening on the map and say, this looks like we'll have increased tornadoes this week. Is that how it works?
That's exactly right. We continue to strive to get better warnings once the tornadoes are on the ground to warn people to take shelter. However, what we've been able to do is look at conditions 1 to 3 days in advance. And we can say, well, the conditions are going to be ripe for tornadic activity in this area either tomorrow or the next day. And that gives people a little bit of a heads up to be aware of the fact that tornadoes could be present in their area. It's not as definitive as a true warning because we just say tornadoes are likely to occur in your area. And we continue to strive to have better warnings once the tornadoes are on the ground. But this is a way for people to at least be aware of the fact that there is a possibility for tornadoes in their area in the coming days.
How much advance notice do people typically get when a tornado is on the way?
NOAA is striving for a 13-minute warning for people once the tornado is on the ground. Average is around 15 minutes, but there are times when it's far less than that. There are times when we have, 3 to 5 minutes of warnings. Tornadoes that occur in remote areas where we don't have as good coverage with radar, those are not going to be detected as easily or as quickly. There are a lot of nuances and subtleties to how much of advance warning you're going to get.
Have we seen tornadoes happening more frequently in places that are surprising to you or other scientists?
To some degree, yes. Now, I'll go be so bold as to say with a warming climate, as we go into a climate-changing environment, tornadoes are not going to become more intense, but the location of where they occur may change. The interaction of that cold, dry air with the warm, moist air might shift in some ways that are not to be determined at this point. We're fairly well-versed in what atmospheric parameters are needed for a tornado. What we're struggling with is, what is the trigger? What is the catalyst that makes some storms go tornadic and others that seem to be very similar or if not identical to us at this point in time, don't spawn tornadoes? And so that's the real question.
Why are tornadoes harder for scientists to observe compared with other natural disasters?
Tornadoes are very elusive, and we have very few data sets on tornadoes, primarily because they are short-lived, and we don't know exactly where they're going to show up, so we can't get our sensors and our machines in place to observe them. Also, most of the tornadoes are on the scale that we can't observe from space. The highest resolution of our geostationary Earth satellites is 500 meters. And so oftentimes tornadoes are not that wide. And so we can't observe them from space like we can other phenomena, such as hurricanes or mid-latitude winter cyclones. We can see them from space and we get a lot of information that way. Whereas tornadoes are a smaller scale phenomena. They're shorter lived and we have not an exact location of where they're going to descend. So it's very difficult to study these with a complete data set. And you know, both hurricanes and tornadoes are incredible atmospheric phenomena, but they're dramatically different because, at least as far as studying them, hurricanes, they'll trek across the Atlantic or across the Gulf of Mexico for days. And so we have the opportunity to watch and observe them. We can get instruments into the actual hurricane itself. We can fly planes through the eye wall. We can drop sondes into the eye. And we can actually, you know, get a lot of information about these systems as they're coming on shore. And so that's enabled us to both improve the tracking of hurricanes as well as the intensification of hurricanes over the past couple of decades. Whereas tornadoes, as you mentioned, they come out of the sky and they might be on the ground for 8 minutes and then they're gone. And so it's very difficult to marshal the resources to study that tornado because they are so short-lived and we don't know where they're going to pop up. And so studying tornadoes is far more elusive than studying hurricanes and other types of atmospheric phenomena.
What are some of the big ways we might achieve better tornado forecasting?
What's taken place in the past couple of decades are these large field experiments, Vortex 1 and Vortex 2. Vortex 1 was in the late 90s and Vortex 2 was in 2010. And at these times, we get dozens of universities to bring their faculty and students, as well as their equipment and sensors, into the plains to try to study tornadoes. So in 2010, with literally dozens of people in cars with temperature and wind sensors and Doppler on wheels, which is a radar that can move and be mobile and get really good imagery of the tornadoes, there was only one tornado during that field season for these people to intercept and connect with. That tornado still is the most well-documented tornado, and it's our best data set of a tornado. But like hurricanes, they're not all the same. And so granted, we have this great data set of this one tornado that was in Wyoming and Nebraska, but we know tornadoes come in a variety of flavors. We even know that some tornadoes don't even spin cyclonically. About 2 or 3%, three out of every 100 tornadoes spin the other way.
Jeff Weber, I so appreciate this opportunity to talk with you. And I'm actually pretty proud of myself that I made it through the whole thing without asking you about Twister. So here we go. Jeff Weber, a scientist at the University Corporation for Atmospheric Research. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Melissa.